Asciam,
Basiam,
Tenor,
Ajanaya,
Vibhika,
Putran,
San,
Paranjanya,
Inparanjani,
Paranjana,
Inparanjana,
Satani,
Andras,
Ekadasa,
11.
Virat,
all
king,
Ayusha,
of life, Ardham,
Nath,
Atta,
in this way,
Atyaka,
repass.
Translation, great sage and Ardham, and address compression of Ayusha. Oh, one whose life span is very great. In this way, King Paranjana begot 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife Paranjani. Whoever in this distance passed away half of his lifespan. Her part in this verse, there are seven significant words, the first of which is the Ekadasa Satani. Paranjana had begotten 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife, and thus passed away half his life. Actually, every man follows a similar process. If one lives for 100 years at the most in his family life, simply begets children up to the age of 50. Unfortunately, in the present womb, people do not live even 100 years, and thus beget children up to the age of 60. Another point is that formerly people used to beget 100 to 200 sons and daughters. As will be evident from the next verse, King Paranjana not only begot 1,100 sons, but also 110 daughters. At the present moment, no one can produce such huge quantities of children. Instead, mankind is very busy checking the increase of population with contraceptive methods. We do not find in Vedic literature that they ever use contraceptive methods, although they were begetting hundreds of children, checking population. The contraceptive methods is another sinful activity. But in this age of Kali, people have become so sinful they do not care for the resultant reactions of their sinful lives. King Paranjana lay down with his wife Paranjani and begot a large number of children, and there is no mention in these verses that he used contraceptive methods. According to the Vedic scriptures, the contraceptive method should be restrained from sex life. It is not that one should indulge in unrestricted sex life and avoid children by using some method to check pregnancy. The man is in a good consciousness and consults with his wife, and as a result of his concentration with intelligence, one advances his ability to estimate the value of life. In other words, if one is fortunate enough to have a good conscientious wife, we can decide by mutual consultation that human life is meant for advancing Krishna consciousness, not for beginning a large number of children. Children are called parinama or byproducts, and when one consults his good intelligence, he can see that his byproducts should be the expansion of his Krishna consciousness. O Prajapati, King Prakshinabari, shut in this way, King Paranjana begot 110 daughters. All of these were equally glorified, like a father and mother. Their behavior was gentle, and they possessed magnanimity and other good qualities. For children begotten under the rules and regulations of the scriptures generally come as good as the father and mother, but children born illegitimately mainly become part of Sankara. A part of Sankara population is irresponsible to the family community and even to themselves. Formerly, the Varna Sankara population was checked by the observation of the former day that they call Jarva the Samskar, a child of getting religious ceremony. In this verse, we find that although King Paranjana had begotten so many children, they were not Varna Sankara. All of them were good, well-behaved children, and they had good qualities like their father and mother. Even though we may produce many good children, our desire for sex that is beyond the prescribed methods is sinful. Too much enjoyment of any of the senses, not only sex, but also sinful activities. Therefore, one has to become a swami or goswami at the end of his life. One may beget children up to 50, but after 50, one must stop begetting children to accept the vanaprastha order. In this way, you must leave home and then become a sannyasi. Sannyasi's title is Swami or Goswami, which means that he completely refrains from sense of judgment. One should not accept the sannyasi order whimsically. He must be fully confident that he can restrain his desires for sense gratification. King Paranjana's family life was, of course, very happy. As mentioned in these verses, he got 1,100 sons and 110 daughters. Everyone desires to have more sons and daughters, and since the number of daughters was less than the number of sons, it appears that King Paranjana's family once was very comfortable and pleasing. And after this, King Paranjana, the king of Panchala country, in order to increase the descendants of his paternal family, married his sons with qualified wives, married his daughters with qualified husbands. According to the Vedic system, everyone should marry. One has to accept a wife because a wife will produce children, and the children in their turn will offer foodstuffs and funeral ceremonies so that the fourth house, wherever they may live, will be made happy. The offering of oblations in the name of Lord Krishna is called the Pindodakam, and it is necessary that the descendants of the family offer Pindad to the forefathers. Not only was Paranjana, the king of Panchala, satisfied in his own sex life, but he arranged for the sex life of his 1,100 sons and 110 daughters. In this way, one can elevate an aristocratic family to the platform of a dynasty. It is significant in this verse that Paranjana got both sons and daughters married. It is the duty of father and mother to arrange for the marriage of their sons and daughters. This is the obligation of Vedic society. Sons and daughters should not be allowed freedom to determine their own success until they are married. This Vedic social organization is very good in that it stops the promulgation of illicit sex power. Varna Santara, which appears under different names in this present age. Unfortunately, in this age, although the father and mother are anxious to get their children married, the children refuse to get married by the arrangements of the parents. Consequently, the number of Varna Santaras increased throughout the world under different names. The great sage Narada then addressed King Parashana Maharishat, "Oh, one whose lifespan is great in this way, King Parashana begot 1,100 sons within the womb of his wife Paranjani. However, in this business he passed away half his lifespan." Oh, Prajapati, King Parashana Maharishat, in this way, King Parashana begot 110 daughters. All of these were fully glorified. I like the father and mother. Their behavior was gentle and they possessed magnanimity and other good qualities. After this, King Paranjana, the king of the Panchala country, in order to increase the sense of his paternal family, married his sons with qualified wives and married his daughters with qualified husbands. We see that the king had relationships with his wife and he produced children, etc. Now he produced 1,000 children, 1,100 sons and 110 daughters. This, of course, is probably impossible. In the modern world and even in the ancient world, one wife could not produce so many children. We find, of course, there were 100 sons, including Duryodhan, but that was because they divided one embryo up by artificial means. So the kings produced many children, but usually not this amount from one wife. Sometimes the kings had many wives, like I think. Also, they had 19 wives, I think, something like that. So obviously, could have a lot of children that way. But not 1,000. I don't think they ever had 1,000 children by 19 wives. So this is more or less symbolic. Symbolizing all the desires and whatever that can result from the mind and the intelligence and the jiva and sense activities, etc. So in this way, a person throughout his life uses his various facilities, that is his senses, which were indicated by the openings in the city. He uses the city with its gardens and whatever, utilizes the intelligence, which was the queen, and one enjoys. And through that enjoyment, a person develops desires, more desires. And we're constantly doing activities in the material world, and consequently having all sorts of experiences, and consequently developing all sorts of desires. So in this way, our desires increase unlimitedly in one lifetime. Some of which are strong, some of which are weak. Some of which are negative in the sense that they're not desires, but rather repulsion or hatred. So we have Ichha and Dvesha developing. Into more and more varieties due to our experiences and actions in this world. And this goes on life after life. And these impressions are held in the subtle body, life after life. So in this way, a person keeps accruing more and more of these desires, life after life, and then the desires will manifest in actions to attain. After we get the desires, then we want to attain those desires. So we do more activities, and we'll do papa punyas to do this. So in this way, the living energy is entangled in countless karmas, and countless activities, countless enjoyment in the material world. And it is very difficult to stop this once it starts. So the living energy goes on in the material world, birth after birth, with no hope of ever stopping this whole process of going from body to body and enjoying. So, of course, the origin of all of this is the jiva and his initial ignorance from which he identifies with body and tries to enjoy, and then does actions and develops more and more desires as a result of experience in this world. And the result, of course, ultimately is we get pushed from body to body. So, and we enjoy and we suffer. So the whole process is one of ignorance giving birth to desires, giving birth to actions, giving birth to karma, giving birth to enjoyment and suffering in the material world. So that is the analysis of the progression, what happens. So the ignorance is constant and the desires keep multiplying, the activities keep going on, and the karmas keep increasing all the time. This is the nature of the material world. Simultaneously, we're living a material life and we're exhausting some karmas, our corrupted karmas, by getting the suffering or enjoyment. And simultaneously, we're doing more activities and we're increasing it. So it's very difficult to end this process once it is there. So this is the entanglement of the material world. And it's very difficult to get out of it. So unless one has proper knowledge, this process will continue. And the jiva will be in ignorance. He won't know birth after birth what's happening. So that is why it is necessary for the jiva to get at least to sattva guna. And then he gets knowledge and he can understand the process of birth and death and going from body to body, because he understands the nature of atman different from body. So for that purpose we have that varnashram system to raise a person to sattva guna. And once that's established, then one can go on to jnana, yoga, and bhakti. So most of the people are in tamguna. So it's very difficult for those people to rise up on their own because they're in tamasic state. Generally, they will go down because they'll do more and more sinful activities out of ignorance, and they'll simply go to lower species of life. So it is rather hopeless for the majority of people to advance, because generally they won't. So therefore there are systems of regulation by which persons can be elevated. So we have various societies in the world, and we have the varnashram system to help raise everybody up. In the varnashram system, the majority is tamasic. And therefore there are rules to control all of these people and their enjoyment. And if they follow the system, then gradually they can rise up through the gunas and get to sattva guna. And then they go on from karma yoga to jnana, sangha yoga, and bhakti yoga. So that system depends on very careful operation with the king in charge, etc. And the sudra is not allowed to have money or anything. They're very carefully controlled at all times. At the same time, they can't be exploited. And the other varnas, they have to protect them. So unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, this doesn't work. Generally, everybody gets exploited. And that's why the whole system will fall apart, has fallen apart. Instead of that, we get democracy, in which people don't want that exploitation, so therefore they put in another system. Of course, even then people can get exploited. Because still the people are in ignorance. And the majority are tamasic, so therefore they can get exploited without their knowing it. So, in any case, these systems don't seem to work anymore. The Varnashram system cannot work because we don't have a king in charge, etc. And the democratic system doesn't work because the people get fooled and they get exploited anyway. So there is no noble goal of raising everybody up in consciousness and democracy. They don't have that goal. So what to do? But that is why Krishna recommends the process of bhakti yoga. Because even if you are in tamogun, bhakti yoga can surpass that. So at the very beginning in Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami explains that bhakti yoga will destroy klesha, which means karmas, prarabdha and prarabdha, it will destroy vasanas, desires, and it will destroy ignorance. So this is the perfect way in which one can rise above ignorance and above even sattva-guna, without having to go through an elaborate process of varnashram and then jnana and yoga. So this is the process which is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita. So it was the misfortune of this king, Anjana, which is the typical jiva in the material world, that he was caught up in this karma, and at best he had some regulation, but not too much regulation, and therefore we see his desires are increasing and increasing and increasing, and he gets pushed into another body, and it says here half his life went away, so he didn't realize that sooner or later he would have to die, and later we see in this chapter that this is exactly what happened, but then he didn't realize it, but he had to leave the city. So he had to stop that enjoyment. He had to stop his fulfillment of his desires. But he went into another body, and then the whole process started again. So this is the ignorance of the jiva in the material world. Because of ignorance, he attaches himself to the body and goes on with his activities. So there is a solution, of course. As I said, bhakti. And of course, if one is in a varnashram system, then yeah, the solution is to work one's way through and come up to jnana, etc. In any case, it requires guidance. It's not that it just happens on its own and naturally everybody rises up and that doesn't happen. One needs a particular system or a particular source of knowledge in order to do this. So that is why the scripture is there and the devotees are there too to give that knowledge, by which one can individually get out of this position in the material world. Otherwise, it is a hopeless position. It cannot be done. It's very difficult to get out of the bondage of karma and ignorance once one is caught in that system.
Why is it that there is a natural tendency to degrade?
Natural tendency to?
Degrade in the material world. There is a natural tendency to
degrade. Oh, because the nature of the material world is that the Lord sets it up, but it goes from, we'll see that originally we have Mahatattva and then it goes into Ahankara, so it goes from Sattva to Tama. And then the Lord sets up the material world with the universes, etc. And he establishes everything very nice in Satya Yuga, and it ends up in Kali Yuga, Tama again. So the tendency is of matter itself is to end up in a tamasic state. It degrades, goes downwards. So this is the nature of property, it seems, to tend towards tamasic state, inaction.
One thing that the opposite of ignorance is knowledge, but one needs some faith also. We may have that knowledge. If we see in case of devotees also, they may have knowledge, but still it takes a lot of time to realize that knowledge or to have full faith in that knowledge and act accordingly.
That is why the qualification for bhakti is faith, not knowledge. But it's with faith that we accept knowledge. If we don't have faith, we won't even accept the knowledge to begin with. And that faith must also have some sort, not just faith, because by faith one can exalt so many different processes or whatever, or nominally accept them, but will not be inclined to practice them. So not only that some sort of conviction is there, but a desire to get some results from it must also be there. When that is there, then one will begin practicing it. We can say that is part of the faith, that one will desire to get some result from the practices, not only to get the knowledge, but implement it. So when we implement it, then that, of course, is strong faith.
Out of pursuit of normal children, in case of normal living entities who are outside Bhakti and they are in ignorance, so why would they accept the knowledge in the first place? They are already in ignorance.
Oh, well, only because of faith, the development of faith. But that faith will only develop through a Gyatra Sukriti, through the mercy of devotees. So the jiva must change its tendency. When a jiva begins to change and becomes favorable to the Lord, then that is faith. And with that faith, then one takes association, gets knowledge, etc., and then one begins practicing bhakti.
You don't find the connection between the words to be great. The jiva itself is the middle, it must always have made,
well, if one is not one is tamasic, one doesn't. If one is rajasic, yes, one will try to progress materially. But tamagun, no, one will generally be lazy and do as minimum as possible. Minimum
action
possible.
Staples and even the low-level people, they want always to be higher.
Well, that would be the rajasic tendency. They're not completely tamasic in that sense. The real tamasic person won't want to do anything. He just want to sit there. Get drunk and sit there. Huh? And the one who has ambition will be rajasic. He'll try to advance.
The one who gives knowledge, what makes the different levels of realization?
Mm-hmm.
All the advanced people who gain knowledge doesn't have the same realization.
What kind of knowledge?
The spiritual knowledge, Atma Jnana. Again, they're not able to put it into practice. They do in different levels. What makes them do it?
That may be due simply to the amount of faith they have. If it's weak, they will do less. If they have more faith, they'll do more. If they follow proper process, they get better results, then they'll do better also.
Thank you.